Now, 1 John, the 4th chapter, this is how far we've come with Troll. Now, also, we have a book, regular book, the General Epistles. We went through all 7 epistles, verse by verse, word by word. It's in a book, and there are 70 studies. Like I said, God starts out with a little sentence, but you don't know all that comes afterwards. Okay? All right. 1 John, the 4th chapter, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. And we're going to see something interesting here. And also today, beware of messianic Jews. And even Jonathan Cahn. Now, he's got the name of a priest, right? Okay? He claims he's a Christian, right? He's not. He has the Jews meet in their meeting hall on Friday night, and the Christians come in on Sunday. If he were a true prophet of God, now he may be a half a prophet of God in some things, but if he were a whole true prophet of God, he would tell the Gentiles, stop your Sunday keeping. But he would lose too much money. So you test them all. See? But test the spirits. Now let's read on, because this becomes important. Whether they are from God or not. Now if they are not from God, who are they from? Satan the devil, right? Now then. I don't have a hearing aid, so I didn't hear it.
The dark side.
Yeah, okay. Satan doesn't come as a fiery dragon when he first shows up. Doesn't come and breathe fire out and you think, oh boy. No. He comes as what? How did Paul say he comes? As an angel of light. I have something very good for you. See? All right, so you test the spirits. All right. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. All right. What does this tell you? What does this tell you? That those who preach contrary to the word of God and are false prophets get their inspiration not from God, not from the word of God. And remember, Satan can quote scripture pretty accurately, right? Okay? Partially. That means there is a demonic spirit. Now, the spirits, there are many kinds. There are murdering spirits, there are sexual spirits, there are religious spirits that are all so nice and so good and so kind and do such good works. There are many of them, see. So it has to be, as it says in Isaiah 8, to the law and the testimony. If they don't speak according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. And one other thing on Messianic Jews, they keep a 15th Passover. See? And Jonathan Cahn keeps a 15th Passover. Now, long and short is this. You must have the Holy Spirit of God. You must keep the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. And if you don't have our Passover book, you need to write for it. Now, it's a big, thick book. Like I said, starts out with a little and then expands, okay? 500 pages. And there was an evangelist from WCG that said, well, why does such a simple subject need 500 pages? Because there are so many false prophets out there with so many different ideas concerning it that it's crazy. To say nothing of these calendars, how many have ever heard of the Lunar Sabbath calendar? That is the most hideous, evil thing in the world. They say this, you look for the new moon when you see it, and they never see it on the new moon day, they always see it on the second day. Always do. Okay? You find a new moon, and that's day one. You count 7 days, and that's Sabbath. What if you see the new moon on a Wednesday? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Tuesday is Sabbath. Oh, but we're from God. And you know there are people who believe it. You know? I'll have to tell one on myself. I get a lot of books. I read a lot of books. Because, you know, like Patton said, you have to read your enemy's book. See, so you know what he's doing. I got the most astonishing book the other day. And it is, title is, The Greatest Lie in the World. What do you suppose he thinks it is? The earth does not rotate. Freedom of speech. Okay. People get hung up on things that are contrary to the Word of God and believe that they're part of the Word of God. See? So he says, verse 2, by this test, you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. Now, the Catholics believe in a form of deocetism. Okay? Verse 3, every spirit that does not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was to come, and even now is already in the world. All right? Well, those in the first century, until there was a lot of persecution, things were really going nice. You know, everything was going fine. Similar to what we went through, say, you know, 35, 40 years ago, everything's going nice. We've got a big college over here, and we've got all these booklets, we have all these ministers, we have all these buildings, and everything's wonderful and fine. But they didn't recognize the false prophets that came in. And so it got so corrupt that they forgot the Word of God. Whenever you get so corrupt, he's got to what? Little correction come along, huh? Yes, indeed. Big time correction, right? Now, what happened? What happened? Now, some of you who are newer, you haven't experienced, you'll experience later on. Okay? Hopefully not here, because we want to stay as faithful as we can. And remember this, with God the Father and Jesus Christ in you, you have direct access to them all the time. The begettal of the Holy Spirit dwells within you. See? But, like anything else, you have to what? Grow in grace and knowledge. And that's a full-time job. And the Sabbath is so special that he has set it aside so that everyone who comes before him to worship, to study, to pray, to exalt him, to read his word, he's present. And he's dwelling in those who have the Spirit of God. Now, can there be anything greater, better than that? See? With that, you know, how much ministerial authority is needed if everyone is taught to be in good standing with God? Just enough to keep order and to keep the wolves out. That's about it. You know, when they were leasing the cars and they got all these Plymouths and they had Plymouth Fury 3, and one evangelist was saying, this is of God because the cars we have are Plymouth Fury's free, and he thought he was the one to bring God's fury to the church. Okay? Look, that has nothing to do with God. See? God wants you to grow in grace, in knowledge, and understanding, and his spirit, and his truth, and his righteousness, and as we will see here in chapter 4, to love one another. Remember one of the first things that Jesus said? If you love those who love you, you haven't done anything greater than the tax collectors, right? And we're all different backgrounds, all different races, all different personalities, all created in the image of God. And God loves every one of us, and Christ and the Father, for those who are baptized, are in us, and those who are not, God's Spirit is with you so you can understand. Okay? So this is a tremendous thing. All right? Let's finish this. Okay? Verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than the one who is in the world. Listen, we need to have the greatest confidence, the greatest strength, the greatest understanding. We don't need to be afraid of anything. We need to be wise so we don't do stupid things. And I've done enough of those, and you've done enough of those, okay? But we don't have to be afraid. Always remember this. At the name of Jesus Christ, all demons must go. See? Don't have to be afraid. God has given us the greatest promises, the greatest blessings, the greatest of everything which lies ahead of us. So keep that in mind. All right, let's come down here to verse 5. They are of the world, because of this they speak of the world, and the world listens to them. We are of God. The one who knows God listens to us, and the one who is not of God does not listen to us. By this means we know the spirit of the truth and the spirit of deception. See? Now, what did Jesus say of his words that he spoke to the apostles? Said, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, that's why when you read and study the Bible and you pray to God and you have the Spirit of God in you and you read, you get great understanding from reading the Word of God, right? Think of what the Bible is and what it does. It's the greatest book in the world. It tells you who God is, what we are, where we're going, helps us in time of trouble, time of joy, gives us the right direction, helps us to be able to stay out of sin, helps us to keep away from Satan the devil. It gives us understanding of his plan. You know, how many people know what God is doing in the world? You know, if waters went out, you know how many watch Waters World? This is my world. Well, the universe is God's. Okay? And he put a microphone up and said, why are you here? Why were you born? That would be interesting, wouldn't it? Okay? All right, maybe Randy might take a camera and a microphone and go out and he and someone else do that, you know, whatever. Randy's world, why are you here? Okay. All right. So we are to know the spirit of deception, see, as well as the spirit of truth. All right. Now, verse 7. And I'm also sending out with this message, I'm sending out another one I did 10 years ago. And that's called How to Heal a Broken Heart. Because when you were disillusioned because you put your trust in men instead of God, it ruined your life, didn't it? Okay? Why did Jesus come? He said he came to heal the brokenhearted. See? And that was, I listened to it, and I said, because I was thinking of doing it again, and I said, no, this has more in it than I could do right now. So Randy is, I hope you got it cleaned up and everything, okay? So remember, always remember this. In spite of all the circumstances, in spite of all the difficulties that you go through, in spite of whoever is against you, and sometimes you get so down that you think there is no way out. I've been there. You've been there. Okay? But God is always there. So remember this. God loves you directly, personally, and has placed his spirit of begettal within the spirit of your mind and has given you the spirit of Christ to develop the mind of Christ so that you can have eternal life and be in the first resurrection and be the first fruits of God forever and ever and ever. So never forget that. Doesn't matter what the difficulty may be. See? God isn't going to forget us. If he knows how many hairs are on our head or how few there are, or if he knows a sparrow falls and we're worth more than a few sparrows, right? I hope I'm worth at least 3 sparrows, I would hope, you know, whatever. Okay. He loves you. And think what Jesus did. Now, Michael gave a good series at the Feast of Tabernacles. We're putting it on the next mailing. And it's important to understand God loves you so much and the Father loves you so much that they had the covenant and agreement. Okay? When before Christ, let's put it this way. I don't know when it was written in the scroll of truth in heaven. But what does it say in Hebrews 10? In the scroll of a book, it is written of me. God the Father and Jesus Christ had a covenanted agreement probably before the foundation of the world. So that he, Christ, created all human beings. And only his sacrifice in the flesh can possibly pay for the sins of all the world. Because he's creator of every human being. And they love us. Now that's not to brag or get lifted up in vanity or anything like that. But that's to understand the magnitude of what God has called us to. And why then we need to love each other in spite of all of our difficulties and faults. And if you think you have faults, I have faults, okay? Everybody has faults, right? That's why Christ provided for us that when we pray every day, we ask God to forgive us for our sins, right? See? That's why even after being baptized, your mind is not perfect. Well, it never was. Okay. But part of the process of overcoming is erasing and replacing. Erasing the evil that is lodged in there. If you don't think it is in there, okay, I'll just try you right here. Coke is the real thing. Right? That's there. Okay? Right. How many other things are there? A lot of them. How much advertising do you watch? Well, you've got to have your mind cleansed every day. You know, some of this is pretty rotten stuff. Okay? All right. So, just understand this. The process of eliminating evil in your mind is bringing it to your remembrance again, even though you are converted, so you can repent of it. And sometimes there are things that are in there so deep that it takes a long time of repentance and study and overcoming. But that's all part of the process of growing and overcoming, see? This is why we're to love one another. We need each other. We need the support of each other, see? Verse 5, beloved, love one another because love is from God. And everyone who loves has been begotten by God. The one who does not love does not know God because God is love. Tremendous things here. In this way, the love of God was manifested toward us and toward the whole world. See? That God sent his only begotten Son into the world. Now, that was quite a thing. I did a sermon on that recently called, How Did God Do That? To give up his glory, to divest himself of his power, to become a pinpoint of life in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and receive in him, through Mary, his mother, the law of sin and death. Now, some people might say, Christ had to be perfect. He was. He never sinned. But why did he have to have the law of sin and death in him? You know, Romans 8. Let's go there. Romans 8. Since God created us, the one who became Jesus Christ, and the law of sin and death entered into Adam and Eve, as the judgment from God, because they decided that they would make their own choices without God. Okay? Ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and I got a letter coming out in the next mailing that shows what celebrates that event. Christmas. The Christmas tree, as you will see, is a celebration of the eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that Satan is the god of this world. So wait till you get the letter. Okay? All right. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 1. Consequently, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Though you're fighting and overcoming sin, as is discussed here in chapter 7, who are not walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You're loving God, you're praying, you're studying, you do things that you should do. Okay? Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has delivered me from the law of sin and death. Okay? Now, it doesn't mean he's removed the law of sin and death. He's given you the power of the Holy Spirit so you can overcome the law of sin and overcome the law of death at the resurrection. It's a process. That's why Paul wrote here, chapter 7. Chapter 7 is one of the most complicated chapters in the Bible because he uses the word law in about a dozen different ways in that one single chapter. And the Protestants with the blinders over their eyes, when they read this, they think, well, God's done away with the law. See? All right. For what was impossible for the law to do, the law can only state what should be done. It can't make you do anything. Now, try this the next time you run a stop sign and you get a ticket. Okay? And the officer comes, you roll down the window, and he said, didn't you see the stop sign? Well, officer, you know, that stop sign should have made me stop. No law can make you do anything. You must choose to do what you do. Okay? And then it was weak through the flesh. God having sent his own Son in the likeness, and that means the exact sameness, homoiomati, of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. How could he condemn sin in the flesh if he didn't have the law of sin and death in him? We know he had the law of death in him because he died, right? So if all of our sins are nailed to the cross, which they are, And if all sin comes because human beings have the law of sin and death, which we do, and God put it in there as the judgment against Adam and Eve, and it's passed to all children genetically, you can't escape it. Okay? It's part of you. How could he be the perfect sacrifice for sin as the creator of all mankind if he didn't take that upon himself and never once sinned? Never yielded to it. Though he was tempted in every way like us, see? That's another one, see? How could he be tempted like we are tempted if he didn't have the law of sin and death in him? How could he be tempted like we are tempted if he wasn't really all human, but having the Spirit of God from conception? So, there's no condemnation for us. See? That's why we do sin more than we would like to admit. Isn't that correct? Yes. So we have the deliverance, which is the Spirit of God and the Word of God and repentance to remove the transgressions on a continuous basis. John writes that Jesus' sacrifice is the propitiation, the continual atoning for our sins. Now that's amazing, isn't it, huh? Okay, come back here to 1 John 4. So then, because of that, because God has loved us, we need to love him with all our heart, mind, and soul, and being, and love each other. Verse 8. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this way, the love of God was manifested toward us, that he sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this act is the love. Now, that's the way it is in the Greek. The love. Not that we loved God. So we say, oh God, look at how smart I am. I found you. You know. Rather, he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also are duty bound. It's not if you want to. You must. Duty bound. That's what the Greek means. See? Same word used for foot washing. If I've done it to you, you are duty bound. See? Okay? Now, okay. So how much is there for us to learn? Lots. I think about it all the time. I am still learning. See? Read, study, go over it again. And then things start coming together. You know, it's just like a building. You put up the frame. You can't say, oh, I finished the house. So you put up the insulation on the outside. You can't say, I finished the house. Where's the electricity? Well, you got to have that in there. You got to have the doors, have to have the windows, have to have the roof, have to have the chimney, have to have the stairways, have to have the carpets, have to have the paint, and all of that sort of thing, see? And then after you've lived there a while, then what do? You see all the mistakes that you did, and so then you go back and redo it. I love that one commercial where they're looking to remodel. And the guy comes in with this big sledgehammer, boom, smashes in the wall. Well, you know, that's what God does to us too. Smash in the wall, you know. You got to do it differently, see? All right, let's see, we're duty bound. Okay, and the reason I'm sending out this sermon to heal a broken heart is because we have all suffered heart-rending deep wounds because of the things that have transpired in the church. So did the first century brethren. What do you think they went through when how many were still believing that John is going to be alive until Jesus comes. And then when he died, boy, the apostasy took off like a bunch of horses in a chariot race. See? So we've got to have the strength so none of that happens. Love each other. Okay. Verse 12. No one has seen God at any time. Yet if we love one another, God dwells in us. Now think about that for a minute. Okay? He talks in chapter 3 about hating. See? Now, God has brought us together with some people that we would be very disagreeable with. Right? Yes. I am one of them. See? Because the only way you really learn love is that you learn to have forbearance and understanding of the individual. See? That's why we're to pray for each other. Not pray and say, oh God, you know, I can't stand that person over there. Why don't you change him for me? See? God's answer is, well, why don't you get up off your knees and find out about that person and maybe love that person a little bit and learn to love him even more, and maybe you'll have a different attitude. See? Because the spirit killer is resentment, hatred, and bitterness. Okay? So you can read about that in the book of Proverbs. Okay? Now notice what happens. If, notice that, we love one another, God dwells in us, and his own love is perfected in us. When did God love the sinners? When they were still sinners. Not necessarily unto salvation, unless he calls them. See? Now look, the way God loves everybody in the world today is this. He gives them air and food and water and the things necessary for life. They're able to procreate and bring children into the world after their own likeness, after their own kind, according to God's genetics that he has. See? Okay? There's no respecter of persons with God for that. Okay? He provides everything for food. Now think about this. If you want a logistical problem, think about this. How would you provide food for 7.25 billion people in the world every single day? God does it automatically. Takes care of the air, takes care of the water, takes care of all the birds, all the fish, everything else. See? All for mankind, even though sinning and warring and killing and fighting and all of that. Now then, God has called us out of that. See? So this is important. That's why we need God dwelling in us, and that's where we started, right, in John 14? Yes, indeed. And his own love is perfected in us. Now you see, perfection is a process. Now if you're building something, you want it perfect, you keep working at it until it's perfect. And 9 times out of 10, after you get it and you think it's perfect, you see something that needs to be changed, right? All of us who have gray hair, or whether it's dyed or not, makes no difference, we all know that we do not think today like we did when we were younger. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? And most everyone growing up, when they are 30, look back and see that their parents were a whole lot smarter than they thought they were when they were 16. Isn't that true? All right. Okay. So likewise with us. Love is perfected. Now, what if you have a hard time overcoming to love a certain person? Well, keep praying about it. Keep working on it. Don't give up. See? God doesn't give up on us because we sin, which we do. Read the first part of chapter 1 of the Epistle of John. He says, if anyone sins, we have Jesus Christ the righteous as the propitiation for our sins. And if we confess our sins, he's righteous to forgive us. Okay? Maybe the person you don't care for doesn't care for you. Now you got a real good combination here. Okay? Well, they got big termites in this building, don't they? See, it's perfected. Because you don't have it, it must come from God, and it is spiritual, and you must stay close to God and increase in the Spirit. All right. Verse 13. By this standard we know we are dwelling in him, and he is dwelling in us because of his own Spirit which he has given to us. Now that is quite a statement, isn't it? See? Now what happens if you're reading the scripture and you don't understand it? Well, you get on your knees, you open your Bible, you study on it, you pray and ask God, help me to understand. See? Now the understanding may not come all at once, but he will help you understand. God's Spirit will lead us. See? Now, we'll finish here in 1 John, and we'll pick it up there next time, but I want to close by going to Romans 8. Okay? Now, Romans 8 is very important for us to understand. Romans 8. Now, forget the name of the book. Extreme Ownership, that's it. By Navy SEAL. You ever heard of the book? Okay. And it is this. Whatever you do, you own. You don't do like the Democrats. He did it, she did it, they did it, they did it, they did it. See? What did Adam and Eve do in the garden? Lord, you let this serpent in here. Then he asked Adam, well, why did you eat? He said, it's your fault, God, you gave me this wife. See? Okay. So extreme ownership is you own everything you do. And if you do something not right, you admit it. Now, there may be circumstances, but you own it. Okay? Now, they advise corporations this way. They go teach corporations and say, the only way a corporation is going to succeed is if everybody who is working has the overall goal in mind of what the corporation's goal is. And you all work together for that. Okay? So likewise. Now here we are. Okay? Let's pick it up here in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And that's not necessarily in the male gender. Okay? Now you have not received a spirit of bondage again unto fear. That's what it was in the world. But you have received the Spirit of sonship. You belong to God. Whereby we call out, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness conjointly with our own spirit, testifying that we are the children of God. Now look at verse 17. Now if we are the children of God, we are also heirs. Truly heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Think of that. He's going to give us part ownership in the kingdom of God, which then will include the whole universe. Now there's nowhere that you can go that you can get anything that even comes close to this kind of promise that is given. See? heirs of God, if indeed we suffer together with him, so that we may also be glorified together with him. Wonder what it's going to be like when we're born again, you know, and the angel's taking us up in the air and putting us on the sea of glass, and we're all of us there. We're all going to have one language, you know, because we'll communicate with everyone. And God will say, all right now, you're a spirit being. Here's your first lesson in showing your glory. Now everyone do this. Then on the sea of glass, and here's this, whoo, all this glory, all the sons of God, the first resurrection, all glory. Down on earth, they're going to look up and say, what is that? You know, look at it this way. What we will become compared to what we are, it's like we are today still no bigger than a speck of dust. And think of the promise, okay? Are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be with revealed in us. Okay? So, that is troll number 7. We'll see if we can finish it in a week or two. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.